Thank you so much for leading us, band, and just want to just acknowledge, I know we all come here every week, in just different places, and so wherever you're at, whether you're in the wilderness, or if you're in a dry spot, or maybe you're doing really, really well, God has a place for all of us to be here together to just get our eyes on Him, and also not just say, hey, this is about my experience at church, but get our eyes on Him and say, God, who is it that you would have me to minister to today here? And so we're looking up, but we're also looking horizontally at each other and saying, I'm here for a reason today to hear from the Lord, but also maybe to encourage someone. And so maybe you're going to be that that fountain that God uses. It's Him through you to encourage somebody today. And so as we pray in just a little bit here, I want to give that to the Lord and ask Him to use us. If we never met before, my name is Josh, and just thankful that you guys are here. I'm one of the pastors at the church. And as Andrew said, the weather's just amazing. So I'm just loving this, and already feeling my neck getting burned. So we're all going to be rednecks when we leave here today. But I love this weather, and we're praying that 2 weeks from today we'll have the exact same weather, because 2 weeks from today is Baptism Sunday. It's one of the most exciting things we get to do around here. We love Baptism Sunday, and so we're going to be baptizing people. And let me just say this. If you've never taken this step as a follower of Jesus, this is your next step to take. You read the Bible, and the very first thing that people do when they give their lives to Christ is they follow Him in obedience and get baptized. And so if you haven't taken that step, I want to encourage you in that. And let me just give you two opportunities. Today, after our gathering, we have baptism class for the adults, and we have splash class for the kids. And we've already had some people pre-register, but if you're here and you haven't registered, let me just invite you to come and be a part of that. Baptism class is going to be just past the bathrooms in the big hall there for the adults, and for the kids, if you'll go through there and up into the sanctuary space in the front, sit on the carpet, we're going to have a splash class for the kids. We're going to help kids understand what baptism is all about, because we do believe that kids can take that step of faith and also obedience and become baptized. And so we're so excited about that. We want to help you get prepared for that. So come and stick around for the class if you'd like to do that. It'll be a 30-minute class. It will start 5 minutes right after we wrap up here. But hey, I just want to say to all of you, thank you, thank you, thank you for how flexible you have been with us in this pandemic. Just doing church in a pandemic means that we're calling a lot of audibles, to use a football terminology. We've been online, and then we moved outside, and then we went inside for a Sunday, and then we went back online, and then we came outside again, and then it rained, and we went inside, and now we're back outside, and so it's in, out, and you guys have just been so flexible and so faithful, so I just want to say thank you to all of you, and I want to assure you that God is using this season in the life of our church to help us with our mission of connecting Boston and beyond to Christ. We've been able to connect with so many people beyond people right here in front of you today because of all that's going on. And we just want to praise God for that. We a couple of examples. We had a call this week, or an email this week, from Australia. Somebody found our worship from Australia and said, I love this arrangement of this one particular song that you guys do, and it's really blessed me, and I wanted to bless my church. Can you send us the music for that so that we can then go sing the song in Australia? I thought that was pretty cool. And then 2 weeks ago when we were outside, my family has a unique perspective being right here in the corner. We see the dumpsters of this this housing complex here. And we noticed that there were some staff members who were, you know, loading up the dumpster during our church outside. And they were clearly listening in and slowing down. And then we get into the song Waymaker, and two of them just stopped and just started worshiping right over this hill down by the dumpster. And I just thought, how cool is that? Somebody had to go to work on a Sunday, and we were able to give them a worship break right in the middle of work. So praise God for that. And again, I believe God's doing something through this. I know He is, and I've seen it in so many different ways, and I just want to kind of, as best I can, inform you of some of the things that God is doing. And so He's just getting started. So hey, let's go to God in prayer, and just pray that He would use us today to encourage each other, also that He would speak to our hearts in a real way, and let's praise Him for what He's doing. One of the things He's doing that I want to start with praise over is some of you guys have already had the chance to meet a new addition to our church. Sarah and Joe Malloy have welcomed John Michael Malloy, or Johnny, and he was back there. I think he's going and getting fed right now, but 9 pounds and 2 ounces, 21 inches long. Did I get that right, Joe? It's like, you know, given the specs of a car, you know, what's under the hood here. 9 pounds, 2 ounces, and 21 inches long. And so we just celebrate with you guys, and as a church, we're with you in this. So we're going to praise God and just thank Him for that. And then also I just ask Him to be with us today. Father in heaven, thank you for all that you're doing in our midst. Thank you for new life. Thank you, God, for life change that's happening inward in people. God, thank you for how we're able to bless our neighbors and our community and the city and then even to the farthest continent. You are so good. And God, we pray that you would continue to use this. God, that we wouldn't despise where we're at right now in any season of life, wherever we're at, that we wouldn't despise this moment. But we know that you are working all things together for good and for your glory. And so, God, we trust that that's happening. God, I pray that today you would do a work deep within each of us. And then also, Lord, you would use us to bless somebody else. And so we commit these things to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, last week, as we were inside live streaming, and you guys were all over the place watching online because of the rain, Kevin got to tell you about his high school car, his first whip. It was a truck. And so I thought, hey, I'd join in the fun and tell you about my first high school car. It was a Dodge 400 white with red leather, or I should say pleather interior. It was a convertible top. And my dad got it for me for my birthday, actually. No, I wasn't a spoiled brat that got a new car. He actually bought it to celebrate when I was born 16 years prior. And 16 years later, gave it to me as a gift. And the top was all tattered, and so we put a new vinyl top on it. And it wasn't one of those convertibles that you'd be proud driving around with the top down. And so it was in rough shape. And it lasted no more than a year. And I then spent $1,000, right at $1,000, to get my second car. You may know this car if you've been around for a while. It was a red Honda CRX. And if you know anything about a 90s red Honda CRX, my CRX is probably the only one for hundreds of miles that wasn't lowered with rims. Because if I were to put rims on that car, it would have been worth more than the entire car. But this car also struggled pretty bad. And the check engine light on this car was always on. And you guys know the check engine light? It's a little light on the bottom there that pops up if your engine needs some attention. And the light was incredibly annoying to me that it was constantly on. And I knew I couldn't afford whatever it was that needed to be repaired. And it's not like it was body work that was the matter anyhow. And all that matters is what's on the outside, right? And so I just completely ignored the light. And here's what I actually did. I took a picture of my high school girlfriend and I slid it right there on the dash between the plexiglass and the plastic and covered up the check engine light and never had to look at that thing again. Problem solved, right? Here's what we're talking about today. Today we're talking about healthiness. We're talking about your health. And I want you to know that when I say health, I'm not simply talking about spiritual health. That would obviously be my lane, right? Talk about your spiritual health. I'm not even talking about your cardiovascular health, which, you know, maybe you could argue is kind of my lane, you know, and don't worry, I'm not going to give you another running illustration today. I want you to know that when I'm talking about health, I'm talking about a number of different areas. You can probably find one that's applying to you today. See, the gospel, the good news of the life change that comes from Jesus is deeply spiritual, but it also, I want you to know this, it impacts every single area of life. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Other translations will translate it, "I've come so that you may have life to the full." And the truth is, there are many people who are confessing, "I'm a follower of Jesus," and yet the reality is they're not really experiencing life to the full. You're not experiencing that. And there's some areas in your own heart, your own life, whether physically or spiritually or emotionally or mentally, that, you know what, you're just kind of overlooking. The check engine light is on and you've just chosen to ignore it. And I just want to say that today can be a day that we begin to address some things. Not that we're going to wrap it all up and you walk out, it's all done. But today's a day that we can stop ignoring the check engine light and we can start to address some things. Stop putting it off and start to deal. And so we're in a series of messages that we've been calling questions. Jesus asked we must answer. We're looking at questions that Jesus asked. He's a master at asking questions that would draw stuff within ourselves for self-reflection and self-discovery. And each week we're just looking at a different question. And I'm excited to share with you the question for this week. But before I do, I want to give you the opportunity just to do some health assessment. So this is going to feel a little bit differently than where I typically would start with the sermon, but I want to give you the chance to do some health assessment here. And so here's how it's going to look. I want you to picture a dashboard on your car, and instead of just the check engine light, I want you to just picture the gauges, right? Anybody know the gauges? You have, you know, green, yellow, red. And so here's how we're going to do it. We're going to do some gauges right now. We're going to have green, yellow, red. I'm going to give you some areas, and you're going to just kind of assess. Am I at green? I'm doing all right. We're doing well. We're at yellow, where it's not the best it's ever been. Maybe not even great. Or red, I just know it's not good. Things are hot. Things are not great. I'm not healthy here. Okay? So let's just start with the obvious one. We're at church. Your spiritual health. Where are you at? Hey, doing great. I'm healthy. I'm doing well. Things are good. I'm walking closer with Jesus than I ever have. There's just rich intimacy with God. Or if you were to be honest, it's not where it's the best it's ever been. It's okay. I'm not like blatantly running from God. I'm not, you know, living in just some kind of massive unconfessed sin, but I'm just doing okay right now. Or are you at a spot where, if I were to be really honest, it's red, it's danger zone. I am not healthy. I am really not walking with the Lord. There's some areas that right now the Spirit of God is doing something in your heart, and you just know that you're not great. The next area I want to just jog your mind with, and just want to get you started here, is think about your mental, your emotional health at the moment. How are you doing mentally? How are you doing emotionally? Are you maybe dealing with some grief from the past that you're stuck in, right? Maybe you're in a spot where you can't move past where the grief, right? Grieving is okay, but we're to be able to move on and to continue to grow. Maybe you're at a spot where there's some loss in your life. There's trauma, and you're somewhere in this zone over here. You just haven't addressed it. Maybe there's past abuse that wasn't your fault, but you haven't touched on it. You haven't addressed it. You just keep kind of suppressing it and putting it to the side. Maybe there's depression. There's some serious anxiety. I've been in spots where I'm doing really good, and then I can feel myself. This is me speaking. My anxiety really start to kick up, and I go, oh man, before I get over here, I've got to get some care for my soul. I've got to really deal with some stuff. Another area I want to just jog your mind with is, how about your physical health? Yes, we can talk about your physical health. If the gospel is holistic and it frees you from things, where are you at with your own physical health right now? Is there some areas that maybe you need God to provide a miracle? There's some stuff that you've been dealing with that it's chronic, it's really challenging, and you need God to give you a miracle. Maybe you're at a spot where, you know what, I'm not at a good place right now. There's some patterns, some habits, lack of discipline, and physically it's on me, but I'm over here, or I'm tweaking. Wherever you're at, I want you to just kind of assess yourself. Another area, and we can talk about this one, how about your financial health? You know, Jesus talks more about money than heaven or hell. Because there's, you know, remember the wallet of my childhood? If you were like a kind of a grungy kind of, you'd have a wallet with a chain, right? And this is like a chain to your heart, your financial stuff, right? And so where's your heart when it comes to provision and God's money? It's his money, right? Are you at a place where you're overspending, and so you're moving from here, living within your means, to over here, and you're just, maybe you're seeking your stuff to give you joy and to fulfill you, and so you're getting into a bad spot. You're living beyond your means. Maybe you're here and you're just chokehold with debt on you right now, and you feel like there's no way out. Maybe, hey, you would love to be able to give to the mission and give generously like God tells us to, but you're just so stuck over here that it just feels impossible. All I want us to do today is just simply acknowledge. I just want you to simply acknowledge where you're at. There may be something else that comes to mind. It may be a relational issue, unforgiveness, bitterness, brokenness. It may be parenting. You know, you're parenting, you're just in a bad spot. Your temper's showing up a lot. Maybe you're at a spot where the your family of origin, some of those issues are starting to come out in your own life. But I just want you to assess and admit, where am I at? Am I living life to the full in these areas the way God says, or am I starting to get to a place where it's dangerous, it's not looking good? The gospel has far-reaching implications. Now, here's the question. Here's the question from Jesus today. He says, do you want to be healed? I could say it this way. Do you want to be able to say healthy? Do you want to be able to say healthy? In whatever particular area, there may be something else that I haven't mentioned, but do you want to be healthy? This question comes from John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, if you want to flip on over there, you can scroll there on the church app. That would be great as well. But Jesus asked a disabled man this question. He says, do you want to be healed? And I believe he's asking all of us this today. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healthy here? John chapter 5, I want to read it, beginning in verse 1. Just a few verses. Here's what it says. It says, after there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. And in these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, do you want to be healed? And the sick man answered him, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm going, another steps down before me. And Jesus said, get up, take up your bed, and walk. And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed, and he walked. So Jesus is in Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, there's this massive pool area just outside the temple. It's the Pool of Bethesda. And archaeological excavation will confirm they found it not long ago, actually, relative to when we read here. They found it and they confirmed that, yes, there was the Pool of Bethesda. Some background on these pools. During the Greek Empire, the Greeks kind of created a cult around Asclepion, the god of healing. And healing with the god of Asclepion was seen as coming through water. And so essentially what they did, the Greeks in the Hellenistic world, is they associated the natural healing and therapy that comes from springs to this made-up false god. And what they did is, where these springs would emerge, is they built these healing centers over these springs, these beautiful healing centers. And it was all over the empire, and it even came into Jerusalem, right next to the temple. And so while in Jerusalem, Jesus, knowing that there's going to be all kinds of people going to this pool seeking physical healing from a mythological god, Jesus goes and says, I want to see this thing, and I want to talk to one of these people in particular. And it's just this powerful moment. Now, this was a massive pool. Archaeologists have found it. It's a massive pool. It's about the size of a football field, and in some spots, 25 feet deep. And they would build columns. And it says here there were five roofed colonnades in different spots over the pool. And it was just incredible architecture. And inside this place were many, many, many people coming to get healing. Blind people, crippled people, paralyzed people. And as we saw in verse 1, it was one of the three annual feasts of the Jews that were going on there in Jerusalem. And so three times a year, people from Jerusalem would come from all over the world who followed Yahweh God would come to Jerusalem. Not unlike as a church, we have three really big Sundays, right? The Sunday after Labor Day, everybody's back in town from the summer. Obviously, Easter Sunday, and the next week, Mother's Day. Those tend to be like the three big, a lot of people are there. And so naturally, at the pool, people have come in town, and the pool would have been a packed house as well. So there's tons of people seeking healing. Now, why are they all coming to this particular pool? What exactly are they expecting? Well, for that to happen, you need to look at verse 4. So take your Bible and go ahead right now and look down at John chapter 5, verse 4. Get your eyes on it. Do you see it? Some of you are like, wait, I don't see it. My Bible says verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 5. What is up with that? Where did it go? Well, I want to explain. Some of the earliest Greek manuscripts don't have verse 4, and then some that were written shortly after that do have verse 4. Most of them do, actually, and so we don't know exactly what happened. Maybe when somebody was transcribing or writing it down from one translation or one to the next, just making multiple copies, they accidentally skipped over it, or maybe the second copy that does include it, maybe it was written kind of as a note. Some of us have like Bible commentaries, right? Maybe it was written there as a note later. And so the Bible translators of the ESV, which is our preferred one, they say, hey, it wasn't in the very, very earliest manuscripts. And so we just want to make sure that we know that we're true and what we're giving as God's word. And so we're going to leave it out. So they omit verse 4, but because many translations do, they keep the order there of the verses. So that's some explanation. But I do want you to understand some contextual understanding and think through some of the other translations that do include verse 4. Here's what they say. Maybe some early commentary. Here's what they say. Verse 4, here's why they were going there. It says, because an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. So there became this tradition among the people in those translations that have verse 4, those early manuscripts, not the earliest, but the manuscripts that have it, stating that occasionally people believed that there was an angel that came and troubled the water or stirred up the pool there. And so they said that whoever got into the water after the angel touched the water and stirred up the water, that one person was healed immediately of whatever was going on. Whether that actually happened or was just kind of a tradition that came from the people, we do not know, but that's what many people believed. And so Jesus comes into town. He goes straight to the pool where there's all these people desperately wanting to be healed. And the person he goes after is a 38-year-old man. I was reading that, I'm like, hey, that's how old I am. That's kind of significant, right? 38-year-old man. This feels really personal to me. Now, what is it about the age 38? Well, for me, I feel like it was the year that I officially started to feel old. Can I just say that? This is the year I felt old. I don't know if it's the pandemic and all that it did to me, but I officially feel old. Everybody know the term that's been popularized over the past couple of years, a Karen? So my kids have told me that there's a counterpart, a male counterpart to a Karen. It's called a Chad. And I am apparently, according to them, I'm a Chad, right? You're a Chad if you carry a water bottle around the same size that I do. That makes me a Chad. I guess I'm officially old, right? And so 2,000 years ago, 38 was pretty important because, listen, the average life expectancy of a person 2,000 years ago was 28 years old. Now, that stat is a little bit skewed because the infant mortality rate was so high. So people who children would often pass away prior to the age of 2. So if you got past the age of 2, the average life expectancy was now 40 years old. So for me, that would mean 2 more years, and then I'm as good as done, like my kids might suggest, right? And so here's this man, well beyond his prime, 38 years old, and for 38 years, he has not been able to walk, and he's been hanging out by this pool day after day after day. He's been living in this condition his whole life. He is hopeless, and now he's even like beyond hopeless because it's getting close. The end is near, and I'm just laying here hoping that an angel, I've heard about this thing, that hoping that an angel would come and stir up the waters, and maybe there's a fraction of a chance that I could be the one to get healed, living this way for a long time. But today things change because today Jesus asks him a question. And today he meets Jesus. And for many of us, we've been living in whatever condition that's the area of unhealth for you. And it's been a long time in this position. But today I want to remind you, you have Jesus in front of you. And Jesus is asking you a question. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to get healthy? Today is the day. Not because of some hoped for mythological God, not because of some new self-help book, not because of some newly subscribed to YouTube channel about your personal finances or your physical health or how to raise children in the way of this guru blog mom. No, because Jesus has entered into your life and the message of Jesus infiltrates every single area of your life. So Jesus comes up to this man who's been unable to walk for 38 years and he says, do you want to be healed? And he's looking at you and he's saying, do you want to be healed? And when Jesus asks questions, he has a goal in mind. Jesus is not necessarily curious because he knows what you're thinking. He knows the answers to the questions. He's never random. He always has a why behind his word. And in this case, it appears that he knows his why. And his why of asking this particular man this question is to bring to light for this man his lack of faith. To bring to light for this man the lack of hope that he has at this point. Because upon the question that Jesus asks him, do you want to be healed? How does this man respond? This man responds not with an answer, not with, yes, I do want to be healed, Jesus, obviously. Instead, what does he do? He begins to list all the reasons why he cannot be healed. Like, well, if the water is stirred up, I mean, who knows? Or even if it was, I can't even walk over to the water. I don't have a friend who could put me in the water. That'll preach, right, by the way. You need a friend to help you sometimes, to like the four who brought their friend to Jesus. Or every time I do try to crawl and get myself into the water, somebody gets in front of me and gets in first because it was the first person, they say, right? So there's no chance, Jesus. I've got Jesus right in front of me and the power of God right in front of me and at my disposal. And I'm going to list all the excuses as to why I can't be healed. And again, if we go back to the areas that we've addressed, maybe something else that God's putting on your heart, I would bet that there are all kinds of excuses. All kinds of excuses. My marriage is not healthy. Well, God, it's been this way for a long time. If you knew my husband, if you knew my wife, if you knew what they're doing, it's just not even possible. We just can't. It's not. You have all these excuses. Don't give God excuses. My marriage, my relationships, my body, the grief I'm in. Do we truly believe that God is able, church? We sing songs about God being able and God can do it, the big God. And we always like to start with songs that point you to how big God is. But do we actually believe that he's big enough to do things? We actually believe that he's big enough to bring healing and hope and restoration and life and peace and beauty from the ashes? Or do we just sing songs because they're catchy and they're great and we like to sing them? Ephesians 3:20 says this. It says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us. God is able. He is able. Here's a 38-year-old man. He has never walked in his life. And at the very words of Jesus, he gets up. He takes his mat and he starts to walk. He's healed. Now, some of us here today, we are not well. We are not healthy in a specific area. Maybe you're trapped in a sin and it seems like there is no way out. Maybe for you, you're physically unhealthy and you have no hope for recovery. Maybe for you, your marriage, your relationship, it's in serious trouble. You've almost resigned to the fact that this is just how it's always going to be. Maybe for you, you're an emotional mess. You're in a dark place and you just kind of come, you can't see out of it. This is just how, I guess this is how it's going to be. Maybe you're deep in financial trouble, debt, financial issues, and you just feel trapped. You're not getting out of this. I know that we're all dealing with something. Jesus is asking you, do you want to be healed in this particular area? I'm praying that God is stirring something up within us. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to see health here? And if so, let me suggest that there are two things that need to change. Two things today, if you're a note taker. Here's the first one. Your level of want must grow. And your level of faith must also grow. Let's talk about your level of want for a second. For example, how many of us dad bods in here would love a six pack? I'm sure many of us that we would love a six pack, but how many of us are actually willing to adjust what we eat to get a six? Heck no, right? no, I really like my pizza a lot, right? And so, no, I'm not, I want it, yeah, but I don't really want it that much, if you know what I mean. Mark Batterson, he writes it this way. Here's how he defines want. He says, want is the sanctified desire and the matching discipline to do what needs to be done, no matter how hard it is or how long it takes. Some of us here are just a few decisions, a few life adjustments away from health. But the problem is you're not willing to do the little things, or not willing to do them for a sustained period of time. I'll diet for a month, but I will not diet for a year, right? I will selflessly take my wife on a date, even though I don't really feel like spending time with her or frustrated, but I'll do it once. But I'm not going to keep doing that again and again and again. Here's what Eugene Peterson says. He's the guy who translated and created the Message Bible. He has a book, and the title of his book, I think, says it all. Anybody want to have a book where you just read the cover and you're like, I got it. This is that book, right? Here's what it says. A long obedience in the same direction. Long obedience in the same direction. Catch this stat. Check this out. 1.5 million people undergo coronary bypass every year. That's getting angioplasty to restore the blood flow to their heart. We're talking about your heart, like life or death. 1.5 million people. 90% of those people, after they get angioplasty, do nothing in terms of a change of lifestyle. They just continue to do the same thing that got them to that place in the first place. That's crazy. I want to grow in my spiritual health, but don't ask me to do anything but show up to church once a week. I want my marriage to be restored. I'm not willing to go to counseling. 90% of people did nothing, changed nothing. No diet, no change in their choices. So Mark Batterson goes on, and here's what he says. You cannot expect God to do the supernatural if you're not willing to do the natural. Oh, God, change, do what only you can do. But I'm not going to do jack. I'm not going to do jack. I'm not going to invest. Will you think with me for just a minute about so many of the miracles in the Bible? Just let your mind go to some of the miracles in the Bible. Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Fire from heaven. God's going to consume. But what does he say first? Go get tons of water and dump it all over the altar. Why? Because it wouldn't be a really cool miracle if there wasn't water. No, we're talking about fire from heaven, with or without the water. That's amazing. What are we talking about here? Come from the top of the mountain. There's no like lake at the top of the mountain. And come down and get water and bring it up. And down and bring it up. And down and bring it up. And we're in the middle of a drought. So there's faith involved. There's faith and there's some work involved. Every miracle, not every miracle, but many, many miracles we read about in the Bible, it involves some element of human action. God's saying, I want to know if you really want this. The children of Israel, oh, the walls are going to come down around Jericho, but you are going to have to walk around it. You're going to look like a fool. It's going to be really awkward. They're like, what are these weirdos doing? And then eventually the wall will come down, but you got to do it for a while. The woman with the issue of blood, you're going to have to work your way through the crowds and get and touch the hem of Jesus. And then there's healing. So often we as God's people, we just want a silver bullet. Just give me the next little book or Cliff Notes, or you know, just write it on the title really nicely, and that sounds great. We're not willing to do the work. Listen, let me just say, I want to be clear here. Because this is where it can get fuzzy for so many people. The message of Jesus is that God did the work that makes you right with God. He's the one who does the work that if you trust in what he has done, it gets you into heaven. But he also wants you to have abundant life here on earth. And that requires you following him. And that requires you being obedient to him. And that requires you not just saying yes to him, but it requires you to then go on and to obey him and to walk in the ways of Jesus. You're going to have to apply his teaching. And that's where effort comes in. And that's where discipline comes in. Not to get you into heaven, but to help you to live heaven on earth. Abundant life on earth. And know this, that when you fail, and you will fail, the message of Jesus gives you grace upon grace upon grace to continue to get back up and try again and try again and try again, because there is now therefore no condemnation for you who are in Christ Jesus. So you don't have to get stuck in the pattern. You don't have to get stuck in shame. So what needs to grow? Your level of want. Do you want this so much that you're willing to deny self and take up your cross and follow Jesus? Put the work in. Do the hard things. Let me be very clear. Just because you want a miracle bad enough doesn't mean it's going to happen. Miracles and healings are totally in God's plan, his hands, his schedule. But I can't make a guarantee. Here's the guarantee that I will make you. Every single person who trusts in Jesus will be healed. Every single person who trusts in Jesus will be healed. We just don't know if it's going to be on this side of eternity or the next side of eternity. Revelation tells us that he will wipe away every tear from your eye. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain. And some people will see the healings on this side of the grave, and other people will see it on the next side of the grave physically. But if you do want the chance of seeing it on this side of the grave, you've got to pursue it like you want it, like you believe it. And so, do you want it? That's an issue. Your level of want has to grow. Here's the second thing that has to grow, your level of faith. Can we go back to the pool of Bethesda for a minute? The man hung around the pool for years and years and years. We don't know if he was hoping in Yahweh, God of the Old Testament, of our Bible, to heal him, or if he's asking the God of Asclepion to heal him. We don't know. We just know that there are many people hoping that they could have the impossible done in their life. Let me shoot really straight with you. I do not believe in name it, claim it kind of church life theology. That's bogus. I don't believe in faith healing, that if you just have enough faith, it's going to happen. I don't believe in that. That's bogus. I think it preys upon vulnerable people, gives someone an opportunity to ask for, you give me more money, right? If you just have faith enough, give money, and it's garbage. I do not believe that if you believe hard enough, or you name it in the name of Jesus, it's absolutely going to happen. But I do take Jesus at his word when he says things like Matthew 19. He says, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. It is absolutely possible. And my pastor, he used to say this. He used to say, listen, I don't want to be guilty of not receiving something that God would have given had I only asked. Not that he will give every time I ask for something, but I don't want to be guilty of not getting something that he would have asked, or he would have given, if we had just asked. He's waiting for us to ask and to trust him and to continue and to continue. I believe that all things are possible with God because Jesus said it. I also believe it because I've seen God do impossible things. I've seen him heal marriages that it just seemed like they were beyond repair. I've seen him provide for people financially when it just seemed completely hopeless. I've seen him free people from addiction. I've seen him start churches from scratch. I've seen God do amazing things. But some of you here have stopped believing. You check the boxes, you do the obvious Christian things, but you really don't believe that God can do hard things. You sing it, the tune is really catchy, but do you really believe it? Some of us here maybe have never believed. Maybe you stopped believing because you were originally given poor theology. You thought, hey, things like that just come easy and immediate, and so you just stop praying. Maybe it's because you were a disciple to think that because salvation is free, discipleship costs me nothing. Some of you here, you just stop believing. You don't pray, you lost hope, and you're not really in a place where you just are pursuing help any longer. I love the story in Mark chapter 9 of the man who was seeking healing for his son. I'm trying to imagine one of my sons being in a horrific place and seeking healing for his son. And what does he say to Jesus? He says, I believe, but help my unbelief. Can any of us honestly say I'm there? I think we're all there at times. Like, I believe, but there's doubt. Like, there's often doubt. God, I believe, but there's some unbelief, if I were to be really honest with you. God, I need your healing in a particular area, but I don't know. I don't believe enough to be moved into action. God, I believe you're able, but I've got some doubt. And so here's how I want to wrap up. As we think on the two things that need to grow is your level of want and your level of faith. As I told you up front, I don't think we're going to sew everything up beautifully and just move on our way and everything's taken care of. I just want us to think about where we're at, to assess, and then start to move forward. And not just be content with being in this crummy place that you're in a particular area forever and ever an area. So let's stop ignoring the check engine light. Let's begin to start to pursue some next steps. So here's what I want to do. In just a moment, as the band comes up, I'm gonna pray for you. I'm gonna pray that God would help you to identify what particular area of unhealth that you're in. Where's that area for you? And so let's do this. Would you close your eyes in this moment? I just want you to close your eyes. Not because there's anything spiritual, but just to try to get distractions away. Is there for you an area that God is stirring up within you? God, would you stir up within us the areas that we've hidden? Would you expose them right now in our souls? May we see the area that there's some lights going off. You're saying, pay attention to this one particular area. God, stir us up. And I'm going to pray for you in just a minute in this area, but I want to do this. With our closing song, while your eyes are closed, and as you're thinking particularly right now on a specific area in your heart, I want to, as we're singing the song, pull out your phone. And some of us are going to go to the lyrics and get the lyrics for this song, and that's great. I want you to do that. But many of us right now, I would really encourage you to take this time to pull up a connection card. And I want you to go to the comment section there. And in the comment section, would you just identify specifically an area that you just feel like you are unhealthy in, so that the leaders of your church can pray for you? And we will be praying for you in it. And I just want to be able to give you the chance. If you need to do that very personally and quietly, you can do that. And we are praying for you. And if you put it there, we're just going to shoot you a thought on a next step that we can encourage you in. And then it's on you. The ball's in your court if you want to move forward from there. But we want to help people deal. We don't want to just preach pie in the sky. We believe the gospel infiltrates every area of our life. So identify that. Put that in the connection card if you want to do it quietly. Others of you, as we wrap up our gathering, you're like, you know, God's moving in my heart. I'm going to be bold and public. I don't care if anybody sees me. But the leaders of the church, some of us are going to come up to the front, and we're just going to be ready to pray with you. And if you say, hey, just pray for me. We're not going to counsel you and give you all the next steps right here. We just want to pray for you. Pray, God, help their unbelief. Help this particular area, Lord. May they be able to take next steps in Jesus' name. May they have faith that you're able. May you increase their want. So that's what we're going to pray for you. God, we thank you. You are helping us to identify and you're helping us to deal. Help us to move forward and not be content to just be where we are. With the passage that Artis mentioned earlier, that we would grow from one degree of glory to the next, to the next, to the next, to be more and more like you and live in greater and greater health so that we can make much of you on this earth. Whether it's through healthy marriages, healthy parenting, healthy approach to finances, healthy approach to our physical health. If it's an area that's a chronic issue, God, help us, whether in healing or in having to live with it for a long, long time. Either way, help us to glorify you in it. God, give us freedom, give us health, give us healing. I pray, I plead with you to help us to be different, to be full of joy, to be healthy, whole people. And the reason for the hope that we have is seen in our world as people look at us and say, there's something different. There's a health there, there's a joy there, there's a peace there, there's a wholeness there, there's a fullness to the way that they live their lives. God, change us, heal us, meet us here in this moment. May it be a holy moment as we respond. In Jesus' name.